Sorry. I didn't realize I was subvocalizing. Oz has found a way to run sensor scans on the planet's surface, and he's not a ghost.
Then how come you're the only one who can hear him?
She's not the point.
Shut up, Oz. Look, maybe it's something to do with the madness maze. He was there in my head when we all went through. Maybe the experience changed him.
I still say it's damned spooky.
I couldn't agree more. I try not to think about it too much. Otherwise I start worrying about awkward questions, like where the hell my hardware is these days.
We can argue about the nature of existence later, when we're not surrounded on all sides by a whole army of cybernetic killers. Now put the sensor scans on the main view screen, dammit.
All right. Don't swallow your tongue. Sensor display's coming right up.
They waited apprehensively for the first pictures of the planet's surface to come in.
Colonization never really got started again here after the first colony was wiped out. Population never really rose much above 1 million. Local ecosphere is pretty bleak, making farming difficult. And the mines are hard work without much in the way of a payoff. And after the Haydenman attack, nobody would volunteer to come here. Eventually, the powers that be had to promise extra land, higher bonuses, on-site troops, and permanent fleet protection. They really wanted those mines working again. In the end, enough of the truly desperate allowed themselves to be persuaded by the new package to start over on Brahmin II, and the colony was up and running again. Only the fleet had to be called away during the rebellion and never went back. And while we were all preoccupied with other things, the Haydenmen just walked right in and reclaimed it all. The colonists were sitting ducks. Poor bastards. Must have been their worst nightmares come true.
You have been doing your homework.
I lived here once. I knew people. That makes it personal.
Another price we paid for victory. Another mess for us to clear up. And something else for me to feel guilty about. Sometimes I wonder why I started out on this road.
Because otherwise you'd have been killed. Don't beat yourself up, Owen. There's any number of people back on Golgotha who'd be only too happy to do it for you. We overthrew the Iron Bitch and put an end to a system based on oppression and brutality. Ultimately, that justifies everything we had to do.
Everything?
Damn right.
Owen looked back at the view screen and changed the subject.
I wonder why the Haydenmen have returned. Everyone knows why they wanted a rich prize like Madraguda. But from what you've said, it's hard to see what makes Brahmin II so attractive. What do they mine here? Anything important?
Not really. Some minor minerals. Useful stuff, but not valuable.
So what brought the Haydenmen back here, to make it their new base? Why is Brahmin II so special?
You got me. Maybe that's one of the things we need to find out on our little trip down there.
At last, the view screen flashed up the first pictures, and Owen and Hazel fell silent as they saw what the Haydenmen had done to Brahmin II this time around. The cities had been devastated, blown away by concentrated disruptor fire, as though a great wind had swept across the surface of the planet and wiped away all signs of the colony. Not even ruins remained, only shallow craters in the earth. Sometimes an odd building stood, alone and almost untouched, a gravestone for the population center it was once a part of. The only exception to this leveling was Brahmin II's main city and starport, which was still operational. But the Haydenmen had put their own mark on it, transforming it into something new and alien, with strange structures and unfamiliar technology.
This is worse than the first invasion. A scorched earth policy for the outer cities, and setting up shop in the capital. They're here for the duration, and I made it all possible. I have to put this right, Hazel. Put a stop to the Haydenmen presence once and for all.
Will you stop shouldering the weight of the universe all by yourself? Not everything that happens is your fault. Let's concentrate on the matter in hand. Namely, sneaking into the main city, getting our information, and sneaking out again with all our important parts still attached. Anything else can wait till later. When we know what's going on here, we can come back with what's left of the fleet, launch a surprise attack, and open up with everything we've got. That'll wipe the smile off their faces.
We can't leave. Look at those figures on the side of the screen. Those are life sign readings. The majority of the population is still alive and being held in the capital. A human shield to guard against Empire intervention. The Haydenmen have always understood human weaknesses, even if they don't share them. We have to rescue the colonists. We're the only hope they've got.
There's always something, isn't there? Why can't things be simple anymore?
They never were, except in retrospect. And the movies. How well do you know the city?
Like the back of my hand. Our one lucky break. I used to work there. It was the main administrative center. Even ran the mines from there.
Then that's probably why the Haydenmen have preserved it. What's it called?
Brahmin City. They weren't the most imaginative colonists I ever ran across.
Then take us down, Oz. Find a landing place reasonably close to the outskirts, but far enough away that a boundary patrol won't stumble over us.
Shouldn't be a problem. As far as my scans can tell, there are no border patrols. Nothing's moving outside the city. Damn fools are relying entirely on their senses. Higman always did put too much faith in tech. Hold on to your chairs. Here we go.
The Sunstrider 2 fell slowly out of orbit, drifting down like a solitary silver leaf, unnoticed in the forest. Owen and Hazel studied the viewscreen intently as Brahmin City finally loomed up beneath them. The Hademan had damaged it somewhat in the taking, but were now rebuilding it in disturbing, unusual ways. New buildings rose among the old, tall silver shapes with sudden bulges here and there. Outgrowths of brightly shining tech piled on top of and around each other, as though they had grown to their present shapes rather than been planned and constructed. It was as if the battered city had been infected by some vast silvery parasite, shooting up in every open space and choking the human remnants of the city that was. The Hademan were building themselves a new home, and there was nothing human about its former nature. Nothing at all. They parked the Sunstrider 2 in one of the lesser craters, all that was left of one of Brahmin City's suburbs. Owen and Hazel disembarked, gun and sword in hand, just in case Oz was wrong about the border patrols, but all was still and silent. No birds sang, no insects buzzed, and nothing at all disturbed the dusty air. Owen looked slowly around him, taking in the desolate landscape. It was every shade of gray, from scorched earth to beaten stone, and nothing lived in it for as far as the eye could see. A cemetery plot with no grass, no flowers, and no headstones, and nothing left of the dead to bury. The end of time will look like this, when we are all gone and life itself has gone to dust. It reminded Owen very much of Viramond, and he wondered if he was always fated to arrive too late. Just once he would have liked to be savior rather than avenger. He put away his weapons. They felt small and useless in the face of so much death and destruction. Hazel was mooching around, kicking at the gray ground to see the dust rise up in clouds and slowly settle. She too had put away her weapons, and looked distinctly annoyed that there'd been no one around for her to use them on. Owen took in a breath to call to her. The dust floating in the air irritated his throat. The air everywhere was thick with it, a shifting gray haze, like the ghosts of powdered buildings. It was even thicker higher up in the atmosphere, thrown up so far by the destruction of the cities, and the light of the falling sun shone through it in a gorgeous haze of faded colors, like a rainbow bought second-hand from a market stall.
Come on, Owen, there'll be time for sightseeing later. Brahmin City is just over that ridge on the horizon, an hour's walk, tops.
You said you knew a way into the city that the Hademan probably wouldn't have covered. Are you ready to discuss that yet?
Well, it's a way in, but you're not going to like it.
I haven't seen a single thing about this planet that I've liked so far. What's wrong with this way in?
It's through the sewers.
Of course. It would have to be, wouldn't it? How come you know about it?
My job here was part of city security. The rebuilding of the colony was finally getting underway, with new urban settlements springing up everywhere, but the cost was going way over budget. And I mean way over. So they hired a whole bunch of security experts with nasty, suspicious minds to find out where all the money was going. Sounded like an interesting job when I took it, but it turned out to be mostly paperwork and computer time. But I got there in the end. I had to spend a lot of time hacking into files I wasn't supposed to know about, and eventually I found hard evidence that one of the main contractors was working a scam with one of the main unions. The contractors arranged for extra overtime, none of which was actually done, and the contractors and the union bosses split the take between them. None of the poor sloggers ever saw any of the money, of course. Just as I was getting ready to lower the boom on the bad guys, someone finked me out, and contractors and bosses grabbed their ill-gotten gains and did a runner. I ended up chasing them clear across the city and out through the sewers to where they had a ship waiting. Anyone else, and they might have made it, but having to run that far put me in a really bad mood. Would you believe it? After all that hard work, the City Fathers only gave me a measly bonus of 100 credits a head. And I had to supply the heads as proof. Luckily, I had them to hand. What are you smiling at?
It's just... I find it rather hard to see you as an agent of law and order. Still, I bet no one jaywalked while you were around.
Anyway, even though the Haydenmen have been doing a lot of rebuilding above ground in Brahmin City, I'll bet good money they haven't touched the sewers. Haydenmen have no need for toilets, remember? One of the most alien things about them, if you ask me. So we go in through the sewer outlets, follow the path I used, and just pop up now and again to see what's happening. If we're sneaky enough and fast enough on our feet, the inhuman bastards will never know we're there.
I just know I'm going to catch something awful, but it does sound like a plan. Lead the way, Hazel.
They set off towards the jagged ridge rising up on the horizon, clouds of gray dust puffing up with every step they took. They plodded on across the shattered landscape, moving in a drifting cloud, their footsteps eerily muffled, their feet banging hard against the unyielding stone. The journey seemed to take forever. There were no landmarks, and the ridge just sat there ahead of them, never looking any closer. Owen started talking again, even through a handkerchief, just to keep from going crazy through boredom.
If I'm recalling this correctly, you said you got fired from your job here, and you actually had to leave Brahmin 2 in something of a hurry. What went wrong? I would have thought after exposing a scam like that, they'd have pinned a medal on you and given you the keys to the city.
You would think that, wouldn't you? But unfortunately, it turned out that the graft went a lot higher than I knew, and they moved heaven and earth to get me fired before I could prove anything against them. They framed me for excessive violence, fired my ass, and kicked me off planet. Bastards.
So, if the city leaders are still alive, they're not necessarily going to be too pleased to see you.
Don't be daft. If they're still alive, they'd be so desperate for help they'd welcome Valentine Wolf and Kid Death.
Actually, those two would probably do quite well against the Haydenmen. But I take your point. Pick up the pace, Hazel. That ridge isn't getting any closer, and it's already heading into evening. I want to be in and out of Brahmin City before night falls. I get the feeling things get pretty spooky around here once darkness descends.
Yeah, gotta be a lot of ghosts around here. Maybe we can help them rest a little easier.
They finally got to the ridge and climbed to the top. On the other side, at the bottom of what was at one time probably a pleasant valley, lay Brahmin City, its silver towers gleaming brightly in the gathering evening. From far away came the sound of endlessly working machinery, in a city that no longer slept. Owen and Hazel made their way carefully down the far side of the ridge and into the valley, and Hazel led them straight to the sewer outlets, a series of great metal pipes protruding from the sides of what had once been a roughly cut canal. The wide-barreled pipes erupted out of the packed earth wall, over the empty canal bed, stained almost black from heavy usage. No water ran at all now, but the smell from the pipes was still pretty bad. Hazel strode back and forth before the pipe outlets, studying them with a deepening frown. She did so for a while.
What's the problem?
Give me a break, Deathstalker. I'm trying to remember which pipe is which. I was only here once, and that was years ago. I choose the wrong one, and we can end up going around in circles.
Wonderful. Oz, you got any ideas?
Of course. Through my link, I have access to all the city's computer records, and they have extensive maps of its entire sewage system. You want the largest opening on the far right? Follow that, and it will take you right into the main system, with exits all over the city.
Owen relayed this information to Hazel, who nodded reluctantly.
Sounds right. Okay, follow me in and stay close. This would be a really bad place to get lost in.
She pulled herself up into the wide middle opening, and then crouched there a moment, peering into the gloom beyond. The pipe was about 8 feet in diameter, the lower part coated with a thick black residue.
It smells even worse than I remember. And I don't even want to think about what I'm standing in. There used to be a lighting system in these pipes for the sewer maintenance people, but I can't see any switches.
Allow me.
Light suddenly appeared in the roof of the pipe, running away into the distance. The small green globes shed an eerie light down the pipe, and there were wide patches of shadow and darkness.
Oz showing off again, is he? Tell him to check for any old security alarms in the pipes, or any new ones come to that.
I'm on it. As long as I'm still linked in, I have complete control over what the city computers register.
Hazel straightened up and strode determinedly down the pipe. Owen steeled himself against the stench, clambered up into the outlet, and followed her. The thick black gunk on the floor squelched loudly under his feet and made the going treacherous. Owen hoped fervently that there weren't any leaks in his boots. There was some kind of slime caked on the walls, too, and Owen was careful not to reach out to them for support when he slipped in the gunk. The pipe looked utterly disgusting in the flickering green light, and the phrase, "bowels of the city," came resoundingly to mind. He lurched and stumbled on after Hazel, who made her way slowly but carefully on, ignoring the first opening she came to, and then diving without hesitation into a turning on the right that looked no different from any of those they'd passed. Presumably, her memory was coming back. Owen followed her and found himself in a system of smaller brick tunnels, barely 6 feet in diameter. The walls had been scrubbed clean sometime in the not-too-distant past, but the floor was still pretty awful. Hazel hurried on in the lead, following a map in her head that she hadn't consulted in years. Owen could have asked Oz to check they were going the right way, but he didn't. He trusted Hazel. The flat green light made it hard to judge distances and details, and there seemed to be a haze in the air. The smell was so bad by now, it left a constant furry feeling in the mouth and nose. Owen kept hoping he'd get used to it, but somehow it just kept getting worse. God only knew what conditions must have been like when actual sewage ran through these tunnels. Owen increased his pace to walk alongside Hazel, and they strode on in silence for a while, taking sudden turnings as Hazel thought necessary.
"I'm surprised we haven't seen any rats yet. I mean, whatever there are sewers, you find rats, even in the most salubrious parts of the Empire. Which this isn't."
"No self-respecting rat would set foot in a sleazebag operation like this. But I take your point. There was certainly something scuttling in the shadows the last time I was down here."
"Maybe they all left when the sewage ran out."
"Or maybe the Hayden men put poison down."
"Yeah, that sounds like something the Hayden men would do. They never did have time for any life forms but themselves."
They pressed on through ever-narrowing tunnels. The curving brick walls all looked pretty much the same in the diffuse green light, but Hazel still seemed fairly confident about where she was going. Owen didn't have a clue, and the unbroken quiet was beginning to grate on his nerves. The shadow-filled openings in the tunnels they passed began to seem more and more to him like watching eyes and hungry mouths, and Owen, troubled, had a growing conviction that there was something down in the tunnels with them, watching and waiting. He concentrated, calling up the enhanced hearing the maze had gifted him with, and suddenly his ears were full of the crash of his and Hazel's boots on the floor. He faded them out, dismissing them from his attention, and listened to what was left. And there, far ahead, right on the edge of his hearing, was a slow, solid drumming sound. Owen quietly caught Hazel's attention and tapped his ear. She concentrated and then frowned as she heard it too. They drew their guns and their swords and moved cautiously forward, checking each tunnel opening they passed. The sounds gradually grew louder, till the tunnel floor seemed to shake beneath their feet in rhythm to the steady pulse ahead. And then they rounded a corner and stopped abruptly as they came face to face with a giant steel fan, filling the tunnel from floor to ceiling, its massive steel blades churning around and around, though the sewage it had been intended to stir up was long gone. Hazel gave Owen a hard look, and they put away their weapons. They both stared at the fan. There was clearly no way past it, and the heavy blades swept around much too quickly to try dodging past them.
"They must have added this after I left."
"It probably started up again when Oz turned the power back on down here. Oz, any chance you can shut this thing down again?"
"Afraid not. Power is either on or off. No cutouts."
When this information was conveyed to Hazel, she rolled her eyes.
"I could have told you that. They cut every corner they could when they were building this place. Whole system used to back up 1 week and three when I was here."
"If we could stick to the matter in hand... Oz, shut everything down, and we'll climb through in the dark. Then you can power up again."
It's not that simple, I'm afraid. The power system is so unstable, I'm not 100% sure I could start it again at all."
"Wonderful."
"Look, it's just a lump of metal when all is said and done. Let's blow it away. A couple of point-blank disruptor blasts should do the job easily."
"I really wouldn't do that if I were you. It's all I can do to keep the city systems quiet as it is. Even I have my limits. You start setting up alarms down there, and all hell will break loose."
"Hold everything. You told me you had the city computers jumping through hoops and doing what they were told. What's changed?"
"Well, it seems I might have been a little over-optimistic in my initial projections. The Hayden men have revamped the city computers far beyond their normal capabilities, and they've been fighting back for some time now. I can just about maintain the status quo, but you set off an alarm, and you are strictly on your own.